Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. Join us today as we learn a little bit more about how to keep AI cool. Hello, listeners. Welcome back to another Advanced Studio Classroom. My name is Simon, and you are joining me and my co-host, Linda C. Say hi, Linda.
Hello, everyone.
Oh, we're in the studio today to discuss the third part of our June technology article. Now, this is actually a different lesson than we've had in the earlier parts of this article. What's this one called?
It's called Keeping AI Cool.
Don't worry, Linda. AI is cool, like you and I.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, AI is going to be cool for a long time. But that's not really what we're talking about, right?
No.
We're talking about temperature here.
Yes, temperature cool, because, yeah, it requires a lot of energy to keep those data centers nice and cool and operating.
I'll be honest with you, this aspect of AI is probably a little more up your alley in terms of interest than it is up my alley.
Yeah.
Because I know that you have spent a lot of time considering like energy needs and environmental consequences of things like the AI revolution.
Yeah, there are a lot of environmental concerns with using AI.
Would you say this is, you know, an article that could have been cross-listed, technology and environment? Or not really?
I mean, it does touch on, like, the environmental issue, but it probably is more technology.
It's mostly discussing the mechanics of how one achieves this cooling, right? All right. Sounds good. I didn't realize that AI ran hot, but that was because I didn't think about it. You know, obviously, whenever machinery is working, heat is produced, right?
Yeah, and we don't feel that. We don't see that when we are using our chatbots or, like, the AI programs.
I suppose we do see the consequences, though. Like, you've had AI respond slowly, right?
True, yes.
And what's really going on there is, well, there's a lot of users, they say, which means they're kind of, I don't know if they're maxing out their hardware. But the system is under strain because of the number of demands being placed on it. So the machinery behind it is working very hard. Of course, when machines work, they produce heat, and that heat has to be cooled off or bad things happen to the machines.
Correct.
Yeah, as simple as that. Listeners, today we're going to do two readings. We're going to have Campbell join us again to do those readings for us, and we thank him for that. If you have your Advanced magazine, I would encourage you to open it up to this article. If you don't have the magazine, I would remind you that it is a great thing to get, not only because it adds to your learning experience, but probably more importantly, because it is, well, more importantly to us anyway, Linda, it is a great and convenient way to support Advanced Radio, right? So, without further delay, let's get into our first reading. What do you say, Linda? Okay?
Let's do it.
Campbell, let's go.
Keeping AI cool. One of the major reasons why AI data centers are sucking up so much power is the need to cool processors that run very hot. But Microsoft Corp is trying out a possible solution, sending fluid directly through tiny channels etched into the chips. The technology is called microfluidics, and it's being used in prototype systems in test conditions at the company, said Hussam Alisa, who oversees Microsoft's systems technology. The technique has been applied to server chips used for Office cloud apps and the graphics processing units that handle artificial intelligence tasks, he said. Because the cooling fluid is applied directly to chips, it can be a relatively high temperature, as much as 70 degrees Celsius, 158 degrees Fahrenheit in some cases, while still being effective. The company demonstrated the technology under a microscope at its campus in Redmond, Washington, saying that testing so far has shown significant improvements over conventional approaches. Cooling in this way could also let Microsoft develop more powerful chips by stacking them on top of each other.
All right, so we've got this major reason why AI data centers are sucking up power. You mentioned that in the intro, right? They're using a lot of electricity.
Mm-hmm.
So why are they doing that?
To keep it cool, because they need to cool processors that run very hot.
Does this just mean they're running air conditioners?
They're running different
cooling systems.
Keep the data center cool.
I had the opportunity one time at a tech company. It was actually just kind of an office where they did kind of R&D, you know, kind of stuff. But they had a special server room that had the computers all running away in it, and it was like walking into a refrigerator.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm told they've improved upon that, though, now, by having the machines themselves sit in cabinets that are cold like freezers, while the rest of the room doesn't have to be cooled. So they've kind of found ways to improve the efficiency of this.
Right, and that's
but
ideal.
It still requires lots of energy consumptive process. Now, I assume here today that what we're basically heading into as we work through this reading is another one of those innovations that's, you know, an improvement in the way they keep this machinery cool.
Mm-hmm.
So what we've got here is they're sucking up this power to keep the processors cool because they run very hot. They give us this example of Microsoft Core. And here's the innovation. What are they doing? They're trying out a possible solution. Linda, you're going to have to explain what they're doing here. Sending
liquid directly through tiny channels etched into the chips. So these channels, they've been carved into the chips. That's what etch means, when you cut into something. And you can send fluid, cooling fluid, like right into the chip so that you're cooling at a chip level.
You used the word liquid there, used it to replace fluid.
Oh.
Liquid is fluid.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Fluid is liquid. But when we're talking about like cooling fluid, I guess it's more akin to the English word we use to talk about coolant in cars, which isn't really water. It's like a special chemical mixture that keeps things cool, right? So the idea is you're going to be using some sort of coolant liquid, but you're not like putting it through pipes. You're just kind of like running it over parts of these chips?
Yeah, right.
So it's happening on a very,
channels,
very small level.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the idea. The technology is called microfluidics. Now that we know what fluid is, and we know that it's tiny channels, we know what microfluidics are, right?
It's
a very
microchip,
self-explanatory term. It's being used in prototype systems. Prototypes, how are they different than other things?
Well, it's the initial, like the tryout stage.
So it's the test model, if you will. Okay. In test conditions at the company. Now, this comes from the person who is overseeing systems technology broadly for Microsoft. We go on to find out more about the technique. So presumably this is a technique and not so much a technology because it's something you're doing with the chips. I guess the only real change to the chips is these etched, what did they call them, channels?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So the technique has applied to server chips used for office cloud apps and the graphics processing units that handle artificial intelligence tasks. So presumably these are the chips that are running hottest, right? Office cloud apps, what are they referring to there? An office?
The office suite of programs.
Microsoft Office.
Word, Excel.
Yeah, because I don't know, well, you'll obviously remember this, and I'm not saying the OLD word when I say that, because this was very recent. But we used to all have a copy of Microsoft Outlook, Microsoft Word, Microsoft Excel, Microsoft PowerPoint installed on our computer. And then a number of years ago, we switched to this thing where they were basically all online apps, right?
Yeah.
So we could suddenly kind of log into them and open them up through an internet browser all over the place, things like that.
Whatever device we're using.
Basically, our Microsoft Office shifted to the cloud. And that was good for us, I assume, because we didn't have to store as much stuff and it didn't require as much processing.
More accessible.
Somebody had to pay the price. It was Microsoft in these giant cloud server centers by moving the work to there. So that's where the heat was generated. What was the other one in addition to Microsoft Office?
Graphics processing units, GPUs.
Okay. And those are the chips that are running AI software. There's a bit of a confusion there because they were originally used to run high-end graphics on computer, but they're very fast processing chips. Okay, it tells us because the cooling fluid is applied directly to the chips, and by that they mean it's just on the chip. Like, I don't want to give the impression that the chips are underwater or under fluid because that's not right, but there is liquid running in little lines across it, determined lines across it. It can be a relatively high temperature, as much as 70 degrees Celsius. In some cases.
Yeah,
well,
that's pretty
still
hot.
Being effective. Yeah. It's hard to gauge how hot that actually is. I can't imagine 70. Would you say that's shower water hot? Or is that too hot for shower water? I mean, everybody knows 100, right? Everybody knows
still,
30 is like the weather.
Right. I think that might be too hot.
It seems
hot.
Too hot for people.
Too
so
hot.
Really hot, right? Mm-hmm. In some cases, while still being effective, the company has demonstrated this under what sort of situation? Where?
Under a microscope at its campus in Redmond, Washington.
Yeah.
So they've been looking
now,
at
when they
closely.
Say under a microscope there, do they mean like you look into a microscope to see it? Or do they mean they allow you to look very closely when examining the technology?
More literal, more figurative. Yeah, but might also be literal too.
Because literally under a microscope means you are using that biology class tool to look at it.
Yeah. And
but when you put something under a microscope, it means you're investigating it or examining
it very closely. So both could apply.
Okay. They say that the testing so far has shown significant improvements over conventional approaches. What would you say the conventional approaches are? Those are just the ones we discussed in the introduction.
Yeah, air conditioning or
cooling cabinets, stacks of servers, stuff like that. Okay. Cooling in this way could let Microsoft develop more powerful chips by stacking them on top of each other. Now, I don't know too much about this, but I do remember back in college, there were a couple of computer science majors in one of my dormitory. And I remember them always being greatly concerned with cooling. We're actually going to come across a word very soon in this lesson, in our next reading, that they would use a lot. Because they were very concerned with increasing the performance of their computers. And I remember them talking about how there were mechanical or software ways you could initiate better performance from your computer. But I also remember them talking about heat being the enemy. Heat was the thing. Because when things heat up, the machinery doesn't work as efficiently.
Right. It can also damage the machinery.
It causes damage. That's right.
Hot,
That's a little different than my conception. I always thought of it as being changes in heat that caused the damage.
Well, that can also cause damage, going from one extreme to another.
You know, like I was always told, like, if you had something that was extremely hot, like a glass or something, and then you put it in cold water, you were running a risk of breaking because of the temperature change. But presumably you can heat something up so much that it also gets destroyed that way.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Campbell, what do you say? Let's do another one. Let's do another reading.
Enabling growth. The technology is part of a broader effort to customize hardware in Microsoft's data centers, which are expanding rapidly. In the past year, the company has added more than 2 gigawatts worth of capacity. When you are operating at that scale, efficiency is very important, Ronnie Borkar, Vice President for Hardware Systems and Infrastructure at Microsoft's Azure Data Center arm said. The new cooling technology can also let Microsoft deliberately overheat chips in order to get better performance. Called overclocking, this can be useful for handling brief surges in demand. For example, Microsoft's Teams conferencing software experiences spikes in use around the hour and half hour because that's when most meetings begin. Instead of using more chips, the company could just overclock ones for a few minutes, said Jim Klewine, a Microsoft technical fellow who works with the hardware team on filling the needs of its office software products.
I don't know how closely you follow the energy industry, Linda. I sort of have some ties to the idea of the electricity industry, so it's a topic of interest to me.
I don't follow it that closely.
In the United States, it looks like they are very rapidly returning to much, much more energy use, in particular things like nuclear power. But really energy anywhere they can get it. I think most of our listeners will be familiar with this idea that this is basically a result of the AI boom, right? There's this need for electricity that goes along with it. And electricity is really the limiting factor, they say. So, you know, there's all this development of new power plants. I don't know how closely our listeners follow the news, but they've even been talking about allowing companies like XAI and Microsoft to open their own power plants rather than buying electricity from the normal public power utility or the grid. The idea is they could operate their own power plants. I believe there's a famous nuclear power plant where there was an accident. I don't want to overspeak too much because I haven't checked online to confirm this, but I believe that plant is being reopened by one of these companies to supply electricity. The idea being that if they have extra power, they can contribute it to the public use grid to make electricity more accessible and cheaper for all of us. But really, they are able then to supply their own electricity needs rather than stealing our electricity, I guess. Yeah. I say stealing here because this is kind of a sensitive topic. You know, people want the AI, but they don't, they also want their air conditioning and they want it affordable, right? So it's a sensitive issue.
Yeah, that'd be one solution. Well, the AI companies just have to provide their own energy.
But what I would say about that is that all of the focus of those things I hear is like, more energy, more energy. Like we need to build more energy. This is kind of an interesting article because it's not talking about more energy. It's talking about better efficiency, right? And obviously there are two ways you can approach this problem when you need the electricity. You can make things run as well without requiring as much electricity. You can increase efficiency or you can increase the amount of power you have and use. And so this is kind of, this is probably the first time I've heard about a clear, innovative idea at working at this problem from this way. So while all of our advanced content is obviously noteworthy, I think this is a particular idea that might be worth remembering and thinking about if you are interested in this kind of thing.
It is quite innovative.
So Campbell was just reading for us about enabling growth, right? And this technology is part of a broader effort to customize hardware in Microsoft's data centers. Presumably, they're customizing the hardware, so they can grow, right? Why? Because they need to expand rapidly. So how much have they expanded recently?
In the past year, they've added more than 2 gigawatts worth of capacity.
Now, when they say in the past year, are they talking about like 2025 or the 12 months before this article being written?
Mainly in 2025.
Meaning in 2025. Okay.
Because this article is from 2025.
Okay. So in that past year, they've added more than 2 gigawatts worth of capacity. Now, what is that? I could be wrong about this, but I think one of the nuclear reactors that we are familiar with, you know, living on the island, is about that size. So that's like a lot of electricity.
Yeah, that
right?
is.
I couldn't tell you how many homes that would provide power for, mm-hmm. but it's a great deal of electricity.
Yeah, so 2 gigawatts is 2 billion watts of power.
Well, like when we measure things like solar power output, things like that, we almost always measure it in megawatts, mm-hmm. MWs. So gigawatts is really like a whole different scale of power production.
Exactly.
Or consumption in this case. Okay, so we then hear what happens when you're operating at that scale, because obviously it's a huge scale. So
yeah.
what happened?
Efficiency is very important.
Okay, and this comes from the Vice President for Hardware Systems and Infrastructure at Microsoft's Azure Data Center. What is Azure?
So Azure is Microsoft's cloud computing platform. So they provide computing and storage capabilities. So it's basically Microsoft's version of Amazon Web Services.
Okay, fair enough. So running lots of servers, server facilities, right, basically. This new cooling technology can also let Microsoft do something on purpose, deliberately, as
yes.
it were.
Yes, so... Yeah. Microsoft can deliberately overheat chips in order to get better performance.
Yeah.
And this concept is called overclocking, which is very intriguing. So this overclocking can be used to handle brief surges in demand and usually get those demands when everybody is using a certain product at the same time. And they give an example of Microsoft's Teams conferencing software. Like there's a spike around the hour and every half hour because that's when meetings start.
Yeah. Now this term overclocking, this is the term that my computer science roommates used to throw around a lot. And I never really understood it. Well,
okay.
Because they would say things like, oh, your computer's pretty slow. I can overclock that for you if you want, but you gotta be careful. Heat is the enemy. They would say things like that. The implication being they could make your computer perform better, mm-hmm. but heat was going to become an issue, so you were going to start burning out components faster and shortening the life of the computer and
creating
other issues. But I could never understand where this term comes from, because obviously, computers basically run on internal clocks, mm-hmm. right, that are kind of like logging and timing what's going on. Time is important for computer operations, mm-hmm. but overclocking then could mean you're moving it faster than the clock, but I always thought it was more related to that, you know, when you're driving your car down the road too quickly and the police clock you at 100 kilometers an hour in mm-hmm. an area you're only supposed to be driving 60 kilometers. There's this phrase they use, which means like they measure your time or your speed, basically. So overclocking would mean, in that case, it would mean like you're moving faster than you're supposed to be moving. Would that make sense?
But do they use this term when, like...
Police?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, people will say, yeah, they... Well, this could be just like Canadian English, too.
Okay, because
this is why I don't know. Because they would say, you know, oh, you got a speeding ticket? How fast did they clock you at?
Right, clocking.
Yeah, which basically means they measure your speed.
Right.
So they wouldn't say you were overclocking when you're driving.
Yeah, I've never heard that in terms of like,
But I wondered if that's speed. The clock we're overing here. Anyway, this etymology, this is going to become your homework for the day, listeners. Because if you have any idea where this English term overclocking comes from, we would love to hear about it.
Right.
Give us a comment on the social media and we'll be sure to find out.
Right. But this idea of deliberately overheating the chips, so intentionally doing with purpose to overheat the chips so that you
get it's like you're allowing them to perform at a higher level than they should be performing at.
Overcapacity.
And presumably, I mean, they mention here, they say it can be used for handling brief surges in demand. So the idea being like if you only have once a year a demand reaching this huge high level, you don't need to build a whole new center, data mm-hmm. center to accommodate it. You can just increase the performance even if the the cost is that things are running too hot.
But just for a brief period.
But you're doing
of time.
It briefly. Yeah. So it like so allows you to
damage.
Expand capacity mm-hmm. temporarily to meet temporary needs, I guess is the idea.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense to you?
Yep.
They then give this example from Microsoft Teams, which is of course like, you know, for teams that are conference working mm-hmm. together. And what is that example?
Oh, well, I had mentioned that earlier.
Oh, the spikes.
Yes.
Right? Yeah,
when,
you said spikes.
When meetings happen the hour, every half hour, that's yeah. when, like, the demand is highest.
Yeah, like all our meetings are at 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. But maybe we should make them 8:05 or 8:07 just to, you know.
Or 2 in the afternoon, for that matter. Why not?
Yeah, better efficiency.
Yeah, let's let people sleep in a little bit sometimes. I don't know. Anyway, okay. Instead of using more chips, the company could just overclock ones for a few minutes. And this is technical fellow. Usually when you have a fellow like that, it doesn't mean just a guy. This isn't a tech guy. A fellowship is sort of an amount of money that exists to pay people so that they don't have to do things like teach classes, but can do research at a university. So it allows somebody to focus on research in one sort of specific area usually. And I assume that's how they're using this word here.
Mm-hmm.
This person works with the hardware team on filling the needs of its office software products. So, interesting. An improvement in efficiency. That's definitely a technology we'll have to watch out for in the future. Linda, I think that brings us to the end of our discussion, hey?
It does.
On behind the scenes of AI, I've seen all I care to see for this month. But we might find more in a future month, eh?
We probably will.
Well,
yes.
You definitely do have technology articles every month. Listeners, thank you so much for joining us. We hope you'll join us again soon for another Advanced Studio Classroom. Until then, I'm Simon.
I'm Linda.
Saying bye for now.
Goodbye.